Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive and a positively short week here. We got football on Thursday night. Got football on my phone. Luke and I are going to be doing a post game. We'll be ready for you on Friday morning as well. If the Ravens are 2-6 or if they're 3-5, and they better be 3-5 in Miami. I have Raven scratch offs to give away. I gave away a bunch of these at State Fair in the morning on Tuesday. We had a great chat. Luke Jones joined me, as did Alan McCallum. We did a big baseball segment, and Cindy Atkinson, my longtime friend, who's doing a thing with Starboard Society to raise community funds for charitable to help families right here in Baltimore County. It's a big thing. It'll be out of Baltimore Positive as well. Luke came out with us, and I had a pretty good time out at State Fair, and I had a pretty good breakfast out at State Fair, and I had this wild conversation with Dr. Sunil Dasgupta from UMBC about political sciences. His podcast is called I Hate Politics, and some days I want to call this I Hate Sports. Some people think it's that, but I would say that the only guy maybe working harder than Luke Jones this week, dragging him all over town. Poor John Harbaugh's got his press conferences, and Luke's got to run do all this. Might be Shohei. Shohei, you looked really, really tired on Tuesday when you showed up at State Fair, and we were all up, all three of us, till 4 o'clock in the morning watching baseball. But then I saw Shohei pitch, and my wife and I went to this Depeche Mode thing over in White Marsh on Tuesday night in IMAX. We love Depeche Mode, and we got back around the third inning. It's 2-1. I put it on. Jen looked at Shohei. She's like, "He looks tired, man." I'm like, well, he's got to be tired. And I would think the Ravens are going to be, I mean, these Thursday night games are a slog, right?
No question about it. It was amazing to hear John Smoltz's perspective on Shohei Ohtani starting a World Series game, talking about what the normal process is for a starting pitcher in any game, let alone the most important game you're going to pitch in your life. Certainly, one of the most important games you'll ever pitch. And just to think that he was getting on base, what, nine times and playing an 18 inning game. And I get it, he was DHing, but still. So it was definitely crazy. But you said it as we transition here, talking about football, talking about the Ravens. These Thursday night games are always strange timing in terms of just your normal equilibrium. As you and I are talking now, they've finished up the open practices in Owings Mills already, right? I mean, they had a walkthrough Monday. They had a light, but a practice on Tuesday. You know, it was a lighter practice, but it was a practice. They were in helmets, saw all that. But you kind of get into that mode where it's the end of the week. It feels like Friday or Saturday in terms of a normal game week. Meanwhile, the rest of the league is getting ready to start their practice week, right? I mean, that's how it kind of is. So it's strange. It's definitely a quick turnaround. I think we all understand the history of, you know, the traditional disadvantage that the road team has on a Thursday night game. So that's something that the Ravens need to be on alert about. I think all things being equal, and certainly you look at the betting line, which is something you and I have talked about a little more than normal here of late, for obvious reasons with the injury report thing last week. But everyone expects the Ravens to win this game, but they're on the road. They have, you know, they can go back as recently as 4 years ago, going to Miami on a Thursday night, facing a Dolphins team that was not good at that point in time either. And they got worked.
Well,
They were
that was the
worked in
week
that
that
game.
Harbaugh and I got sideways because I had the audacity to ask them about Lamar running the ball 21 times against the Vikings in an overtime game. And the injuries set in at that point. That Chicago memory we had last week about Snoop playing, that was, I remember being there and all the dodging and hiding they were doing at that point about Lamar. Then that was a freaky game that Lamar didn't play in Chicago that year. So, I mean, they all run together for me to some degree. I kind of keep them together, and now they've screwed it up with the 17th game. We're like years when we play the NFC, the Packers and the Lions and the like. I can usually keep them 4 years apart so I can remember back. But it has been 30 years, and I'm getting older. But this is a wild game in a lot of ways, right? Because the Dolphins have been so bad. but looked good a couple of days ago. The Ravens have been so bad, but are trying to get better. Lamar coming back is its own story, as
Sure.
is the fine and whatever draft pick that Rodgers is going to take away from Eric DaCosta for playing shenanigans over the weekend, moving the line 5 points. That the Lamar homecoming part stacks on top of the Lamar, is he ready to play part? Stacks on top of the how's the offensive line look? Which stacks on top of the they don't have a pass rush? Which stacks on top of the 4 games on the, 4 days and they got to go on the road? Which stacks on top of they got to win 3 in a row on the road? Which stacks on top of the fact that they're 2-5 to begin with? And you start stacking all that up. They come out of this great. Lamar's fresh because he didn't play. He's really healthy, not 91% where he's going to get caught by a linebacker or something like that,
Right.
or worse, pull up lame. And then you got everybody else on the roster who literally feels like you looked on Tuesday morning and Shohei Ohtani looked on Tuesday night, and probably the way I'm going to look in the post game, probably Friday morning when I'm at the Nashville airport. So, I mean, fatigue is fatigue, and it gets us all, right? And the Dolphins are coming off of this high thing. The Ravens are coming off of, we got to get our quarterback back and look normal now. It's got to work. Timing has to work now. Pat, we have to be better than we even were a month ago when we had all of these parts. It's a lot of pressure on them this game. I mean, it really is. And every stumble here will be fatal for them.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the week. When you kind of look at how their schedule breaks down, the fact that you started 1-5 and what that means in terms of your margin for error, which shrinks it considerably, they need to make their hay here over this next month. I mean, this is their opportunity to get back to 500, to get to 6-5, let's say. I mean, if you can do that, then I like where they are going into the final 5 games of the season. If they can do that, if they stub their toe, whether it's Thursday night or in Minnesota or at Cleveland, right? I mean, to your point, 3 straight road games is 3 straight road games. Even if it's not murderer's row in terms of the teams that you're playing, you still need to go do it. And to your point, when you're talking about being 2-5, when you're talking about your quarterback coming back from a hamstring injury, he's practicing fully, he's playing, right? There's no more drama there unless something happens in the walkthrough or something along those lines. We heard from Lamar himself on Tuesday, right? He's playing. So that's great, but what does he look like? What does his offensive line look like protecting him? When he takes off, to your point, is he explosive enough, right? Let me rephrase that. Explosive enough for Lamar's
Okay, but
standard,
this
right?
is where I'm going to get sideways with the Lamar people out on YouTube, okay? So he's getting older. He's banged up. It's the middle of the season. Offensive line isn't very good. They haven't had a chemistry to really work from because he hasn't practiced in a month. Even if he did, they had chemistry in August. They never took it onto the field because it didn't, other than the first half of the Buffalo game, nothing was really working all that well in any case. I don't know how quickly they can turn it on. I had Jason Cole on this week, and he said the parts are here for this to be good. And I beat up Harbaugh pretty good in my Dear John Harbaugh piece last week, but I said they're going to be 7-7. I've had lots of people say they're going to be 6-5 by Thanksgiving, right? So fair enough. But to think that Lamar's going to come back and look like Lamar 3 years ago, like a Cadillac running around in the best days of this offense, whatever you think the best days were, whether it was before Derrick Henry got here, on Derrick Henry's best day, because he is an asset, that whatever they can be, to expect that out of the gate and expect Lamar to go out and look like MVP Lamar, I think that's a hot, that would really impress me. They go out and lay up 44 points and score 5 touchdowns and make it look like indoor pinball and make it look easy as they've done. I would really be impressed by that, but that's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this is going to be a scrap and a brawl and turnovers and a little sloppy and a little beaten up, and because it's Thursday night football, the ball's going to wind up on the ground, whoever lands on it, because that's kind of how it works. I can't have a higher expectation than what the reality would state about how this is going to look on Thursday night with him coming back. And they haven't practiced at all. I mean, I don't expect this to look like Kurt Warner running the 99 Rams. I really don't.
Oh, and that's fair. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I expect them to hang 50 on them. Like I think back to the 2019 opener. What was that? 59 to nothing or 53 to whatever it was. It was Lamar's coming out as not just a starting quarterback in the NFL, but going on to be the MVP of the league, right? When he had that big opening day in 2019. But they are healthy. I mean, this is the first, Tuesday was the first time. Monday was a walkthrough. Said that was an estimated injury report, but Tuesday was the first time all season they had every single member of their current 53-man roster on the field. Early on, they didn't have Likely, they didn't have Patrick Ricard. Once those guys came back, once Ricard was back on the practice field, Lamar was hurt at that point in time. So it's the first time, and
And
last
Roquan.
and right and last week they were very close to that, but they still had Marlon Humphrey was sick one day. Ronnie Stanley missed Friday's practice, right? So, but Tuesday was the first time they had all 53 guys. Now, that's not Matt Ibike, right? It's not Broderick Washington, who, by the way, is having surgery. I'm not sure what his status is going to be. He's certainly not coming back anytime soon, as he was eligible, having sat out the last four games. So that's an even bigger long-term hit for your defensive line depth. I think that's a position group to keep an eye on. To your point, it's a short week. We'll talk. The focus is going to be on Lamar on the offense, and the offense, understandably so. But how does that defensive line look, which we know it's an undermanned group? How does outside linebacker look? That's an undermanned group that's lighter in terms of numbers. How do they look on a short week against a Dolphins offense that, to your point, I mean, they didn't just win on Sunday. They played really, really well. I mean, that was
They rallied for their coach, who's
other
really
than
under
the.
duress,
I
right?
mean, other than the Jets beating the Bengals, there wasn't a more shocking result. And I would say this was more shocking in terms of not just that they won, but they won so emphatically. I get it. The Falcons didn't have Kirk Cousins, or they didn't have Michael Penix, and they didn't have Drake London. But that was, I looked at that and I just shrugged my shoulders and reminded myself it's the NFL. Nothing makes sense on a week-by-week basis. So does that Dolphins team show up again? Hey, Anthony Weaver is their defensive coordinator. If there's someone who's familiar and knows this Ravens offense, knows on paper maybe the best way to play Lamar Jackson. Now, that doesn't mean that it works, right? But probably has at least an idea of some best practices for not letting this offense annihilate you. So, it is going to be interesting to see how they respond. They are healthy. To your point, that doesn't mean that it's going to be firing on all cylinders. At the same time, I certainly expect them to be better than they were a few weeks ago with Cooper Rush at quarterback. I mean, that's stating the obvious, right? I expect them to score points. It just doesn't mean that's going to be 50, right? So, and you want to be sharp. You need to be on your P's and Q's. You can't have pre-snap penalties, right? It's a Miami crowd that maybe has a little bit of juice in the first 5 minutes of the game, but if you march right down the field and score a touchdown on your opening drive, what's that crowd going to
Dude,
really be like? You know what I
I
mean?
have three really good friends of mine who are Dolphins season ticket holders and have been as long as I've known them, and I've known them a quarter century. You know what I mean? Like just forever and ever. I have pictures with them down there 20 years ago. All of them, this was the year that they just said, this is my, I'm out. And maybe it's because they're my age, sort of an aging out. And by the way, I did the BBJ symposium with Sashi and Katie. And one of their big things was, backfilling young people, trying to get young people to the games, and young people not caring about the home team and the gambling side. Young people not allowed to gamble, right? Right. That's going to be their portal. So, all of that aside, they got to go play football. But I've had a wild week talking about the business of all of this and watching the World Series and wondering what the Orioles are going to be and talking about the Orioles' new manager and recruiting the community and having Sashi tell me how good it was to see me and all of that stuff. This is, pretty crucial. And I mean,
No question.
they're not home for a month. They got to go win some football games here. And I don't, again, they haven't practiced. Lamar hasn't played. Like, I expect this to be really sloggy on Thursday night, and I'm
Doesn't
worried
surprise
for
me.
them. I think that they're vulnerable in this sort of circumstance, much more so than I'm not worried about them next week against Minnesota. You know what I mean? Like some other teams, but Dolphins have a quarterback that can sling it. Got into a groove a couple days ago, a groove that Lamar isn't in yet, that Lamar's going to have to find in the first quarter, if
Yeah.
not by the second quarter, you know?
I mean, I don't want to get too caught up in how the Dolphins look Sunday because they absolutely look dreadful for multiple weeks leading up to that. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I was saying to you, I didn't know if if McDaniel was still going to be their head coach come the Thursday night game. I guess you could say he's weathered that storm
And
or.
by the way, unlike our organization, that is the kind of organization that fires guys at the bye week. I mean, there are certain places that it happens. That would be one of them.
It is, or they would say, we're tanking the rest of the way and then we'll fire him at the end of the year because that organization was ha had shenanigans like that in the past,
Tank
right?
for
With the,
Tua.
yeah, exactly. So I hear exactly what you're saying. I'm not sitting here at all saying, I mean, the Ravens are 2-5, right? I mean, I think it was interesting to hear Kyle Hamilton's perspective. One, after the game, which I wasn't in on the scrum because he talked as podium was still going on, but he did talk to reporters in the locker room, and he had this question where he was asked how gratifying it was. He said, "Well, like we didn't win the Super Bowl, it was exactly what I wanted to hear, frankly, right? You don't want these guys to have this elation or it was okay to have a brief sigh of relief on Sunday, right? That you won and Tyler Huntley did exactly what you could have dreamed of him doing for you, and you won a football game against a team that had played pretty well up to that point. But the idea is, it doesn't mean everything's fixed. You're still 2-5. And Kyle Hamilton, he was kind of asked about your mindset because it's funny. You'll hear teams when you get off to a bad start and then you win a game. What do you hear? We're 1-0, right? You basically say you're ignoring what happened in the first six games, and from this point on. It's a
They
one
call
game
that
season every week. Yeah.
compartmentalizing
I
in
mean,
sports.
Brian Billick, I famously remember that. You know why I know? Because my best buddy, who's a diehard Ravens fan, he texted me on Sunday saying, we're 1-0. Right? I mean, it was, and Billick got, that's how you try to rally the troops when you've gotten off to a bad start. But Kyle Hamilton said it in the locker room on Tuesday, and I thought it was just mature perspective from him, one of the leaders on this football team, where he said, look, we have to be cognizant and understanding of where we are, acknowledging the fact that we're 2-5, and that's left us in a not so great position from a mathematical standpoint. That said, I love our outlook. He was basically saying, look, we are 2-5. We had a brutal start to the season, but moving forward, I do like where we are. And if that's the case, then you'll go out there, go down to Miami Thursday night, and you'll take care of
I've
business,
made the
right?
case all along that 9-8 is going to win the division for them if they're the team that's 9-8 beating the
In it,
Steelers to
mine,
do it.
yeah.
And that's literally, it comes down to that, but taking care of business and beat the team you're supposed to beat when you're a favorite, all that.
Gotta
And
do
not
it.
saying, well, the Lions were really good and we didn't have Lamar against the Rams and, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. And like all those excuses that were built in from the minute the schedule was built. From the minute the schedule was built, I'm like, this is a treacherous first month and they stubbed their toe, but. Unlike the 74 Colts, they have pedigree to be able to come back. And part of that is Hopkins making a big catch when he face masks a guy and getting away with it. And Derrick Henry maybe getting loose and being what you need him to be on Thursday night, which is, a
Oh
factor
no.
back, in a way that. They need to find other ways to win the game other than Lamar's going to go in the phone booth. And
Oh, no question.
defensively against this Dolphins unit and skill position players and stuff, so I'm going to celebrate every punt, every third down that they get off the field on Thursday night should be a celebration because the Dolphins are going to score points on Thursday night.
I mean, they I'm not going to sit here and say that they're definitively going to score a ton of points, but you better be sharp defensively. You better be, and it starts with your run fits because while that offense statistically hasn't been great running the football in the sense that, they're first in the league or anything like that. I mean, I think going into a Thursday night's game. They're 23rd in rushing yards per game. A lot of that has to do with the fact that they've been trailing a whole lot, right? I mean, they've been losing a whole lot. But Devon Achane is still a home run hitter as a running back. They need their edge players to set the edge. They need to have proper run fits. They need to be physical. I think one thing that's been encouraging about this football team, even going back to the Rams game, is showing more physicality as a defense, and stopping the run. I mean, that's really where it begins. And if you notice in that Bears game, early on, the Bears were running the ball on them a little bit. As the game went on, they really tightened that up, and it made it that much more difficult. The same's going to hold true for this game. The Dolphins, as much as you mentioned Tua, and look, he had a good game on Sunday. Tua's played very poor football this year so far. Sunday aside, he's been poor. I mean, to the point where there's starting to be some chatter about whether he's going to get benched or not. That's how bad he had
Well,
been.
McDaniel said sit down at one point,
Exactly
right?
right. So, but it still comes back to they want to run the football and let that kind of drive the bus offensively, and then you can take a shot to Jalen Waddle, right? Then Tua can throw a ball downfield, understanding the Ravens don't have a great pass rush. So if you have them in a position where it's third and three, then, I mean, most offenses are going to be pretty good converting third and three. But if you have them third and eight because you've stopped the run on early down settings, then that's where the Ravens can probably run some sim pressures or blitz or do some things on the back end of the coverage and force Tua into making a mistake, right? Like Caleb Williams did against Nate Wiggins in crunch time on Sunday. So we're going to see how it plays out. I think, look, on paper, with Lamar being back and the Ravens being as healthy as they've been all year, even on a short week and understanding those challenges, yes, the Ravens should be favored. However, they're 2-5 and the Dolphins are 2-6, right? I mean, let's also not completely lose our minds here. And I think this was your point in terms of necessarily thinking that Lamar just trots out to the field and the Ravens are going to hang a 50 burger on them. I mean, it's harder to do it than that, right? So go out there, run the ball, play clean, don't commit too many penalties. You need your offensive line to be as physical as they can be. This is a Dolphins defensive front. It's a defensive line that has some good players, right? I mean, Zach Seeler, the former Ravens draft pick, has become one of the best interior defensive linemen in the AFC, right? So they have edge players that frankly are going to be into individuals of interest at the trade deadline, right? I mean, the Ravens have even, people have speculated about the Ravens looking into wanting one of their defensive linemen or one of their edge guys. So we're going to see that, but they have some talented players. They haven't been able to put it together whatsoever, other than Sunday's game, speaking of the Dolphins. But at the same time, the Ravens are 2-5 and they're playing on the road, and it's a short week. And we know the road team in Thursday night football usually doesn't fare well. And oh, by the way, the Ravens are still looking for their first road win of the season. So as much as the vibe shifted on Sunday into Sunday night when not only the Ravens win, but the Bengals lose and the Steelers lose on Sunday Night Football, and you're looking at the standings and you're saying, oh my goodness, this doesn't look as bad as it did a week ago or 2 weeks ago. It can flip that much more quickly. And to your point, if you're 2-6, then you're kind of right back to feeling as lousy as you felt a couple weeks ago. And that's with, oh yeah, two road games to follow after that. So, I mean, this is obviously important. They're in. A lot of players have said this. I mean, is it playoff mode in the sense that if they suffer one more loss, that then they're done, done? No, of course not. But man, you can't be dropping games that you're supposed to win. And this is a game, frankly, if they are the team that we're all thinking of projecting them out to be, that they have the chance to be that, this needs to be a game you win then. I mean, it's just that simple. If not, then that's where I start to have my doubts as far as just how well, they're going to be able to turn this thing around because you've got to build some momentum. As I said, this next month to me is where it's critical for them to get to a point where they're 5-5, 6-5, because that December schedule does toughen up again, right? I mean, especially when you look at the very end of it. I mean, three of their last four games are on the road. Their one home game is New England, who, by the way, is looking like one of the better teams in the AFC at this point in time. So you need to be in as great a position as you can be come Thanksgiving when the Bengals come to town. And we'll see where Cincinnati is at that point in time. But if the Ravens have dropped a couple games between now and then, man, I'm not liking their chances, even, when you're talking in terms of like 9-8 or, whatever it's going to be to potentially win the division. Because, at that point, you've dropped enough games where you just don't have that confidence that they're going to get on that kind of roll. So yeah, they need to win Thursday night. I mean, I just plain and simple, you need to win, right? You don't win one game and say, oh, we're okay. If you just slide right back into sloppy football and your defense being lousy and your offensive line not blocking anyone, then yeah, then you really start to that optimism that you've built over these last, it's funny to say it's 4 days, right? I mean, it's such a short week, but hey, you got to win. And they should win if they are at all the team we're still thinking they can be as the season
Yeah,
goes
show me
on.
whether you're the 1-5 team or whether you're going
Yeah.
to be the 10-7 team that battles back from 1-5. That's where
Sure.
this is right now. No excuses except short rest and the Dolphins and on the road and all that stuff. Luke will be up late. I will be up late creating Friday morning's magic for you. So if you're watching the Ravens game, and of course, we're going to have World Series game now on Friday as well with the Blue Jays winning game 4. So good World Series this week. I had a beautiful breakfast at State Fair, gave away some Raven scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery over in Catonsville in the 21228 as well. Took them table to table there for breakfast. And Luke and Alan came by, had a great conversation about new Orioles manager, Albernaz. It doesn't roll off. I'm thinking like Kenny Albert. I'm thinking like Alvarez. Albernaz, who with the Boston accent. We'll be talking more about him. And I guess there's a press conference next week after the World Series is over. So busy times around here. We'll have a Sunday where I get to play the remote control jockey on the couch, and actually I just put Red Zone on and turn the sound down a little bit and wait for something to happen around here. But big week, two football games, big week for the Ravens. I attended the Baltimore Business Journal event with Katie Griggs and Sashi Brown, and I have so many observations I may make them public. We'll see. It'll just bleed out and bleed in, but they are kind of running the place. So I did not interact with them because they didn't really want to hear from me. But Luke does want to hear from me. And everybody else that wants to hear from Luke, you can hit him, luke@wnst.net. You can hit me, Ness, at baltimorepositive.com. And also, next Wednesday, we are at Coco's. I got some really good guests at Coco's on Wednesday. I'm looking forward to that. And then on Friday, we're going to be at Pizza John's in Essex. That's before the Vikings game next week. And because we're at Pizza John's, Luke's trying to come too, so because he knows what's good. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Enjoy the football game. There'll be more to come. We're Baltimore Positive.